If you would get your Bibles out, you can turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter number 6. Today, I'm just going to begin a series, and this is probably going to be pretty short, maybe just even a couple of weeks, but the title of this message is Surrounded. Now, if you'll think with me, our previous series, Going to Lift Up My Praise, that series compelled us to approach each day with an outlook allowing the positive to take precedence over the negative. And I so appreciate Pastor Matt and Michelle, who knocked it out of the park on the days that they took the Sunday and just helped bring that series to completion. I can tell you this, church family, it is Michelle and I's prayer that you allow that word to continue just to unfold in your heart throughout this entire year. I pray that it's not a word that is short-lived, but it's deep within. And that is just a prayer that we have daily, is that together we will lift up our praise. Together we will look at the positive. Together we'll allow that to be what drives us as we continue on. Can you believe it? Already in a brand new month of the year of 2020. Now, in this coming out of that series, I just wanted to be able to compliment that, and I believe the Holy Spirit has laid this upon my heart. So for the next couple of weeks, I want to focus on the message Surrounded. Now, Surrounded is about opening your spiritual eyes to the world that is around you, seeing beyond what is natural to discovering the unseen. Now, when we look to Scripture, we are certainly going to find many passages that are going to emphasize this thought. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. The Apostle Paul writes to the believers in Corinth, says, "So we do not lose heart," talking about all the difficulties in which they faced. "Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For the light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all of comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen, they're transient." That means they're just fleeting. They're short-lived. "But the things that are unseen, those things are eternal." And that's what we need to be focused on. Amen? Things that are going to be last. Things that are going to be significant. Things that are going to help us to be renewed day by day. Now, in order for this to happen in our lives, we must open our spiritual eyes. When we live by the Holy Spirit within, and can I tell you, every single person that has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you understand this, or you ought to understand this, the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of your life. So when we live by the Holy Spirit within, we discover the unseen of the spiritual life. However, on the flip side of that, when we live by the flesh, we only see what is visible and what is right before us. In other words, our outward circumstances tend to dominate our focus. Can I tell you, so many of us, I believe, live with the weight of our outward circumstances dominating our daily life because we fail to open our spiritual eyes and see beyond them. And I pray as this church body, as this group of people right here that is before me, as we continue to move on this year, may we open our spiritual eyes and see what God is doing and what God desires to do in our lives. Amen. I think about my young friend, Jim Mullen. It's so great to see Mark Wayne and Christy and Lara and the girls and Andrew and their entire family here with us today, because many of you know that it was Jim that had that brain injury, and many things were spoken over him in a worldly view that says he will not be able to do this, this, or this. But how many of you know our God is bigger than that? We don't just see that report that is given to us. We live in reality. We live with wisdom, but our God is an incredible God, and day by day, that young man is being healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't just look at what is happening around us, and that's very real. And I'm not trying to take away the reality of that. I'm not trying to belittle anything that you and I would face in life. But if that's what dominates our focus, we're going to be hard-pressed all the time. We're going to be distraught. We're going to be discouraged. We're not going to be able to function in the way that we should. But if we will open up our eyes and see the things that Jesus wants us to see, we will see a miracle, majestic, glorious, powerful, almighty, all-knowing God who is on our side. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty pumped about this message today because it helps us get to a place where God desires us to be in our lives. If we live by the flesh, we're going to suffer the consequence of that. But if we live by the Spirit, our eyes will certainly be open. If you and I are genuinely pursuing to allow the positive to take precedence over the negative each day, We must learn, and as the Mrs. Pastor said last week, we must train ourselves to open our spiritual eyes and see the surroundings through the reality of not the world, not the flesh, not our desires, but through the reality of the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you, there is a reality of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. I mean, I think about this pulpit. I can see it. I can touch it. I can see the anointing oil where the prayer team has come up here and they've anointed this as we get behind it and present the word of God. I can see it and I feel it and I know that it's real. But just as much as this pulpit is real, so is the reality of the spiritual realm that surrounds our lives. And as believers in Christ, we need to rise up and put our minds in such a place. Because that's where we will find freedom. That's where we will find breakthroughs, the breakthroughs from the addictions and the things that try to hold us back in our lives. Now, what I'd like to take you to this morning to illustrate this is to an Old Testament passage, and many of your minds are probably already there, but it gives great insight to this truth this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 8. Now, when you read in Kings, yes, things are kind of in order, but there are stories that are placed in there. So it doesn't necessarily mean when you get to chapter 5 to chapter 6 to chapter 7, just a few days have passed as such you would read maybe in the Gospels. There can be seasons and years that would even pass. And so the stories that are placed in here are to help us understand some of the awesome events that took place in Scripture. This is one of those. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 8. It says, once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place, this is where we will set up camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, and that man of God is going to be Elisha. You will see that. Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down to be there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him, and he used to warn this, and so he saved himself there more than once or twice. So on a few occasions, the army of Israel and the king of Israel, they were saved because Elisha was giving him the plans of the enemy. Verse number 11. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants together, and he says to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? Who's the spy amongst me? Who's the spy in my cabinet? Which general is going and telling the plans in which we have? Who's getting paid? Who's prospering because of this knowledge that has been presented to the king of Israel? Verse number 12. And one of his servants said, well, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. That line intrigues me because I'm thinking, how did he know? You know, so there must have been a great reputation about Elisha and these men and women around him. They absolutely knew that. But of course, the king of Syria, he could not discern that. Verse 13. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan, about 12 miles south of Samaria. So he sent there horses and chariots and an army, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God, Elisha's servant, rose early in the morning and went out, behold, there was an army with horses and chariots, and they were surrounding the city. And the servant says, alas, my master, what are we going to do? And Elisha says, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha, he intercedes there. He prays and he says, oh, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed the Lord, and he said, please strike this people, this army, with a blindness. We don't know if that was a literal blindness or more of just like a delusion that he placed within their minds so they could not see the truth. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, now this is the way, and this is not the city, so follow me, and I will bring you to the man in whom you seek. So then Elisha takes this blinded army and he leads them to Samaria where the king of Israel and his army was at. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elijah said, oh Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. Behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw this, he says to Elisha, my father, shall I strike them down? Shall I go ahead and kill them all right now? And he answered, You should not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? But instead, set bread and water before them, that they may eat and that they may drink and that they may go back to their king, to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. They went to their master. And the Syrians, they did not come again in raids into the land of Israel for quite some time. Now, undeniably, this passage speaks to our lives today. And for the next few moments, I just want to give you five things in which I see when it talks about spiritually eyes being open. The first one is this: perspective to your present circumstance matters. It matters. And it's either going to lead to defeat or it's going to lead to victory. Now, think about the characters just for a moment. The king of Syria, how could we characterize him? He was frustrated, he was angered, and because of that, he allowed that to really settle deep within his spirit. Because of that, he was outplayed. How many of you know that when you try to live and walk in an angry spirit, you're always going to be outplayed at the end of the day? It'll get the best of you. It'll override you. It'll make you be spiritually blind. If you're walking in anger, you're walking in spiritual blindness. I don't care how many songs you sing and how many scriptures you read. If you are walking in anger, you are walking blind in the ways of the Lord. And that's what happened here in the king of Syria. And then there's the servant, Elisha's servant. Now, obviously, he was fearful. He had some anxiety. He was worried and he was distraught, and rightly so, because all he could see was the reality that was before him because his eyes had not yet been opened. But then there's Elisha. Elisha. Faith, courage, boldness, power. You see, Elisha was unmoved by the present circumstance of being surrounded by the opposition. Scripture shows us he remained poised and he remained calm as he gave assurance to his servant that everything was going to be okay. When I read about Elijah, that is my prayer. I'm like, Lord, I want to be that individual. I want to stand poised. I want to stand calm. No matter what is being said, whatever is being spoken, no matter what is happening, the things that I see, cannot see, the things I understand, the things I do not understand, all of the chaos, all of the distraughtness around me, God, no matter what, may I always stand and calm and poised, knowing that I'm standing upon the rock of my salvation, my refuge, my strong tower, God Almighty, who is going to be with me at the end of all things. May I have such a presence about me. May I be able to hold myself with such demeanor. He remained poised. You see, he was able to see beyond the physical realm and into the spiritual because his perspective truly was founded upon trusting in God. Church, Elisha, his faith, his courage and his power was a direct result of his trust in God. He wasn't just born that way. Now, obviously, we are born with gifts and talents, and God has a plan and purpose, and the pages of our life are written before him, and God certainly has things in store for us. But we automatically just don't become this people of great faith, and we don't automatically become these people of great courage and great power. We learn that as we walk with God and as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us in our lives. So Elisha was who he was because of the trust he placed in God. Sounds very familiar when we look at the New Testament and the scriptures that have been written to us. Paul to Timothy, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control." That's the spirit that we ought to be walking by, amen? That's the mind we ought to have, because if not, then we're walking in the flesh. I want to walk in the spirit because I want to have that type of discipline and control and well-balanced being within my life. Now, when we think about perspective, perspective is a choice. And it is a choice typically decided long before you ever face the circumstances. Some people are always reacting. And a lot of times when you're reacting, you're not being led by the Spirit, because that reaction is a lot of times fleshly. You get worried, you get angry, you get frustrated, your heart melts, your mind melts, and you start thinking the worst. There's something inside of all of us that always starts to think the worst first. And we begin to play that out in our minds. But then we've got to allow the Spirit of God to really kick in, because that helps us to override that. When you live and walk by the Spirit of God, you are much more spiritually confident and decisive in how you hold yourself in every matter of life. When you think about Romans chapter 8, verse number 5, look what Paul writes to the believers. He says, "For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they will set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind of the flesh, that is death. But to set the mind to the Spirit, that is life, and that is peace." So, church, I would say today, fear or courage, anxiety or peace, it's a matter of what your mind is truly focused on. Amen. If your mind is focused on life, that's where you're headed. If your mind is focused on healing, that's where you're headed. If your mind is focused on restoration, that's where you're headed. If your mind is focused on breakthrough, that's where you're headed, because those are words of the Holy Spirit. Those are the victorious words that have been placed inside of you. If you go the opposite direction, your eyes are certainly closed to what God wants to do in your life. Let me look at the second one here real quick. Faith overcomes fear. Think with me. Spiritual focus is determined by your faith. The level of faith you operate in, it's determined by your daily walk. Your daily walk determines how you handle life's moments. Again, so if you're walking in the flesh, you're going to be quick to give in to fear, because fear is a product of spiritual blindness. But if you're walking by the Spirit, your faith is quick to override that fear. For faith is a product of having your mind and focused on the things of God. How does that happen? You got to go back and listen to the Mrs. Pastor's message when she talked about training yourself in godliness, training yourself in the daily things, asking yourself daily, where are you at? What are you reading? What are you studying? What are you praying? What are your words like? What are your thoughts like? Because when you take those things and apply them to your life, you're going to see that your faith is getting stronger, and that faith is overriding all of that fear and all the anxiety that is in your life. Now, I'd stop here for a moment and I'd say, isn't that how we're supposed to walk as Christians? Your pastor's not giving you anything new here today, right? Isn't that how we're supposed to walk? Isn't that the driving force of who we are in Christ? Isn't that what Scripture compels us to do, to walk in such a manner? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. And while we're away from him, we certainly have to walk by faith." We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith in the Spirit of God inside of us. Paul says again, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." I live by faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, "In all circumstances of life," what are we supposed to do? What's part of that armor we're supposed to wear? "Take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Everything that he throws at you, everything he throws at you can be distinguished by the faith that you place in God. I love Proverbs 29 and 25. I read it from the Amplified Version. It says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever leans on, trusts in, and puts his confidence in the Lord, they are the ones who are safe, and they are the ones who are set on high." So can I tell you this morning, regardless of what's happening in your lives, faith will always, always overcome fear. And again, fear is real. It's a reality. The circumstances around us, they're real. This world we live in, the chaos we live in, the anger we live in, the strife we live in, it is very, very real amongst us. But our faith can help us override those things. Let me give you another thing that I see here in this passage. Whom you surround yourself with strongly influences how you perceive your surroundings. Think about that. The servant was certainly blind to spiritual insight, but was most assuredly at the right place, hanging with the right person, because he's getting ready to grow beyond his spiritual immaturity and his insecurity. Why? Because he's hanging with the right individual. He's got Elisha there to lead him and guide him. You see, Elisha would help his servants see the reality of God's presence, of God's protection, of God's power. Now, why was Elijah able to do that? Because can you remember who he hung with? Elisha hung with Elijah. And what did Elijah do? He spoke much into Elijah. And so he was able to see that reality for himself. So can I tell you again, those you associate with are those who influence you the most. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Whoever walks with the wise, they become wise. But the companion of fools, they're going to suffer from that. They're going to suffer harm, the consequences, and all that brings. The people you surround yourself will have a significant impact on how you view your life. Matters that are big and matters that are small. Now, I know there are certain things about life where, again, I say it often, that you just cannot control. You cannot always control your surroundings of who's around you. But can I venture out to tell you, you can always, always choose who influences you. You may not be able to control who you work with and who's beside you. And I said it out loud. I couldn't believe it. You may not be able to control your spouse right now because you chose them, all right? And so I'm praying for both of you to get on the same page. There are certain things you cannot control, but church, you can always, always choose who influences your life. You can choose who you're listening to. You can choose who you're patterning your life after. You can choose your mentors. You can choose those voices that are speaking positive. I mean, you can listen to the negative if you want. You can listen to all the arguing. You can listen to all the distraction. Certainly in a 2020 election year, you can be influenced by a lot of things that are going to be said over the next several months. But can I tell you, why not go ahead and listen to the ones that are going to speak life, that are going to speak blessing, that are going to build you up, that are going to encourage you. And even though there's a reality of all these things around us, we will not fall to the deception. We will not fall to the anger. We will not fall to the strife. We will not fall to all those things that are trying to zap the life out of us. But we will choose to allow those around us to be people of God, people of faith, people who believe in the promises and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who I want my life to be influenced by. Think about the early church. They ate together. They prayed together. They fellowshiped together. They took communion. They were together almost every single day of the week. Now, I know if you thought, hey, if we're going that direction, Pastor, I'm out. All right. I'm not sure I can hang with you 7 days a week. All right. But they communed and they fellowshiped. And when the persecution came against the church, how was it that they were able to overcome that? Many lost their lives, many lost their homes, many lost their businesses. They were forced out of their country. They were forced out into the regions far and wide. How were they able to overcome that? Because they stuck together and they allowed themselves to be influenced by one another, by the word of God, by the teaching of the disciples, by praying together. They stayed together in such a manner. That's what was influencing them. And because so, God used that, and he didn't decrease the church. He increased them as they continued with that same philosophy. And it's the same for us. Who's influencing you? Who's influencing your words? When it comes to your spouse, how do you feel about them? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to influence you? Or are you allowing your friend that always agrees with you and never tells you anything different? Because if that's the one you're listening to, you're going nowhere and you're going nowhere fast. You can always find people on social media that think just like you. Can I tell you, you don't need people that think just like you. You need people that think like Christ. You need people of faith, people of godliness, people of boldness and courage and power. That's who you want to influence your life. Amen? That's an important thing. All right, that was all extra. Number four, kindness, mercy, and grace help change and cultivate a positive atmosphere. A lot of times we skip past this portion of the story. It's the end of the story, but it is rich. The king of Israel was guided by Elisha to show kindness and mercy to the captive band of raiders from Syria. Now, because of this action, scripture tells us that this constant flow of these giant raids, them coming into their country, all of that stopped. Now, don't let the scripture confuse you, because if you read on, you'll see in the very next verse that the king of Syria came against Israel. And it says, some time passed. So that means years later, yes, the king of Syria came against Israel, but not in private, not in these large bands, not in these large raids. This time, the scripture's saying he came with his army open and out front, his entire army before Israel to take siege of them. So that's a different day and a different story. But for a season, all of those annoying raids, pillaging the villages and the cities they're around, all of that stopped because of the act of kindness and mercy and grace that was demonstrated towards them. Now, church, that type of response is a direct result of spiritual eyes being open and seeing beyond the hostile and vengeful spirit of the flesh. How many know that when we show kindness and mercy and grace to one another and to those out in the world, it goes a long way? You see, blinded eyes will always be selfish. Blinded eyes will always be angry. Blinded eyes will always be vengeful. Blinded eyes will always have something to say, and before they think about it and pray about it, they just say it. Can I ask you this year, as you post things on social media, have a voice, but will you listen to the Holy Spirit before you hit send or hit post? Would you listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking into your life? Because we can be bold and we can be courageous and we can speak the truth, but that doesn't mean that we can't do it with an act of kindness and mercy and grace in our voice as we present ourselves to others. This is powerful. This makes me think about the words of Christ. Go to Luke chapter 6. I don't have it all up there. I just have the ending of it. But let me read to you, back up a few verses that you cannot see. It says, if you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners, they love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners, they're going to do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But you see the verse here, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good. Go ahead and lend to them. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. So for you, because your Father God is, be merciful, even as your Father is being merciful. How many of you know the world needs some more kindness and mercy and grace? How many of you know your family? Can I get in your backyard for a moment? Better yet, can I come on in and get in your living room? Or maybe around the kitchen table with you? Your family needs acts of kindness. Your family needs that mercy and that grace being demonstrated to one another. I even felt compelled in my spirit to say in both services today, husband and wives, be kind with your words and quit putting each other down. Quit tearing each other apart and start to build each other up in the faith and pray over one another and love one another and watch how you speak, because your kids hear how you speak. Your grandbabies, who mine is here for the first time this morning, baby Alec over there. God bless you, baby Alec. This is an awesome message for him to hear, his first one. But anyway, Be kind with how you present yourself, because not only is that impacting you, it's impacting your spouse, it's impacting your children, it's impacting the atmosphere of your home. There's not one of you in there under that roof is perfect, so stop acting that way and start walking in the grace of God. Start walking in his mercy. Start walking in hearing each other. You don't always agree, but hear each other and then find the bottom line. And the bottom line is that we're going to move together in a positive direction. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit places inside of us. If you're always walking in a negative spirit, you're always angry, you're always upset, you're always frustrated, you're always down, you're always worried, you're always got anxiety all upon you, you are not walking in the Spirit. You are walking around in circles because you are spiritually blind to what God has for you in your life. Open your eyes and see the goodness of God. Open your eyes and see the power of God. The glory of God, his characteristics, his joy, his peace, all that he has for us in our lives. Open your eyes and see that. I think about Proverbs chapter 3. I read this one from the Amplified Version. It says, let not mercy and kindness, which is shutting out all hatred and selfishness, and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood. Don't let that mercy and that kindness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good understanding and high esteem in the sight of God and of man. Kindness, mercy, and grace will always cultivate a positive atmosphere, right? We don't always get it right. We all make mistakes. I wish I really grabbed a hold of this message years ago in ministry. It saved me a lot of heartache in the way I responded and the things I said and the things I done, because this is so much rich truth that's been spoken into our lives. The last one I'll give you is this, and I spoke on this several weeks ago, but God is ever present in the life of every single believer. Never forget that. Inner perspective plays a significant role in how you view your outward surroundings. What I'm seeing and hearing, what I see in God do, has a significant impact on how I see you and how I see what's happening in the world around me. It is so powerful. Psalms 34 and 7, I got a couple different versions there on the PowerPoint. The NLT says, "For the angel of the Lord is a guard, and he surrounds and defends all who fear him." The ESV says it like this, that the Lord encamps around those who fear him. I don't have it up there, but the Amplified Version says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, and each one of them he will always deliver." Yes, you may feel surrounded at moments in your life. You may feel that heaviness and that darkness just all around you. But I'm going to encourage you to just keep placing your trust in God. And if you're struggling with that, ask him for strength. There's nothing wrong with asking for strength to rise up, right? There's nothing wrong. Now, we want to be people that are strong. We don't want to tap out. None of us like to tap out. We want to do everything possible. But can I tell you, before you tap out, go ahead and ask for some help. Go and ask God to give you strength. Again, I'm thinking about little Jim. I shouldn't say little Jim. He's little to me. He's young. He could take me out really fast. I won't ever tell him that. But anyway, he knows it. I don't have to tell him that. I think about he's going to rise up because he is strong in the Lord, right? He is our strength. For moms and dads, for grandparents, for everyone out there, whatever's happening in your life, whatever your heavy circumstance is, you're going to rise up if you ask God to give you the strength to do so. I think about Dustin, who has a brain injury, who had it several months ago. Dustin, I don't know if you're here or not today, but I know that he's going to rise up in the strength and the power of God. I know that Gene Killian, who just got diagnosed with cancer this week, I believe in the name of Jesus, he can rise up with God's power and God's strength upon his life. I think about every single one of you, and I don't know all the details, and I don't need to know all the details, but I know if we need it, why not go ahead and ask God for his strength? I'm not ashamed to do that. I'm not too prideful to do that. Allow him to open up your eyes. How many of us need to pray this morning? God, open up my eyes, because I got them closed right now, or they're awful clouded. God, open up my eyes so that I can see your presence, your protection, your provision, your might, your goodness, your love, your grace. Why don't we just go ahead and pray that this morning? Obviously, this message, the title, is inspired by a song we sing. The message is inspired by the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I've asked part of our worship team to come out today and lead us in this song. And it really talks about how we are surrounded by God. Yes, in reality, we see what's around us, but let's go beyond that and let's see God surrounding us. Amen. Because there's several scriptures you'll find. I even encourage you this week, go dig for those scriptures that talks about God's presence that surrounds you in your life.